I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry, Ed, I was having trouble finding the hole over here.
I know, I see that.
Yeah, now I got my mic in, or my headset's in.
It's a recurring problem.
Welcome in, Big Bad Morning Show. Orioles win! Orioles win!
Didn't make it easy.
Yeah. All right, well, it's Ed and I today and tomorrow. Rob's back next week. You guys aren't going to hear me for about 2 weeks.
Almost, yeah.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah.
And
That's a nice vacation. I've never taken 2 weeks in a row. That's like...
It doesn't feel like 2 weeks to me because I have the weekend at home this week, and then we fly out, you know, Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of lose that day Monday into Tuesday, and then I feel like we lose another day on the flight back. I mean, we're spending a long time there.
We're a long time away from here.
That's right. Yeah. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I love working, but I got to be honest, like, you get to some points where it's like the dog days of summer, especially with the way the Orioles are playing, man. It gets to be a grind coming in every day talking about how bad they are, but that's life.
I'm happy for Adley, though. It was good.
Yeah. Well, I was happy for Jackson Holliday when they're chanting overrated and he knocks in the game-winning run. Shut up, Milwaukee. Yeah. I don't have anything. I don't dislike Milwaukee. I don't know why. I was just... But how was your night last night? Because, you know, you and I were talking about it. I was dying to watch the Knicks game, and full disclosure, I had the damn thing on. I was so effing tired yesterday that, like, I was out.
So was I. I was exhausted.
And I missed the best game of the playoffs.
I have not been taking naps. Well, the worst. That was the worst Knicks loss I've ever seen.
Mm.
It's like, yeah. That game was in the bag. In the bag.
What'd you say? 9 points with?
Less than a minute left.
And then you get the inevitable Tyrese Halliburton, Reggie Miller choke.
Yeah.
Put his hands around his throat to let you guys know.
Mm.
They got to bounce back in game two.
Have to.
But, oh,
you don't want to go to Milwaukee down 0-2.
Or Indiana.
I'm sorry, Indiana. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
We're
same place.
Milwaukee just now.
Same place. I mean, like, realistically, if you went there and then you named it Indiana, it's probably going to look just like Indiana. There's nothing going on there.
Vanderbilt don't need to go back.
Yeah. Did you fly into Appleton? Is that where?
I flew into... Because
I know a lot of guys, when they go to Packers games, they fly into Appleton.
Oh, and I drove there from Chicago.
Okay.
I was doing the whole thing in the Midwest there. Yeah. Nice. I'm just driving around.
Well, what did you do yesterday?
A lot. Took my friend's kid to physical therapy. Met my buddy. I met Dave. He's a retired fire captain. He was my neighbor in Hampstead, so we met yesterday for just a late lunch, couple drinks. It was nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we got the big event tonight.
Yeah, that's right. Happy hour tonight. That's 5 to 7, Mount Washington Tavern. That's right. Yep.
I got to figure
that tonight.
So we have the option of, because the light rail, or as I call it, the piss train, because it smells like urine every time you get on it. We have the option of taking that to...
Cat Stevens song.
Was it? Piss train? Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm going to write that. I got to look this up. Was it about the same thing? Getting on a train?
His accent makes it sound like peace train. But.
Oh, okay. Is it peace train?
Yes.
I'm going to be looking for piss train going down a terrible path here.
Joe's just shaking his head.
Yeah. You've been on it. You know, like, as soon as you get on there, and the weird thing too is with the light rail, and I love it. I'm not knocking whatever. It's very
convenient. I've never actually been on it.
You haven't?
I've never ridden the light rail.
Oh, you it's a delight. You got to check it out.
You got to see some of the homeless that jump on there.
Well, you know, if they hadn't killed the red line, I would have lived right there.
Yeah.
They actually would have knocked down the apartment I lived in if the red line existed.
See, the other thing is with the homeless people that jump on,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know how long they're there. They could be sitting next to you. They could be sitting in another, you know, another section. You can still smell them.
Yeah.
Especially in the summertime. But again, look, all walks of life that you're going to see. I've never had an issue on the train. I did have people, like, there are people that get in there and start singing extremely loudly, waiting for someone mm-hmm. to say something to them so they can start the altercation. But it's so damn convenient to have it right next to my house. And then if going to the Mount Washington Tavern, I didn't let you out right there.
Yeah.
So I was talking to my wife. I'm like, do you want to party tonight and have a good time? Stay out as late as you want and take the light rail back. Neither one of us have to worry about driving. Usually I end up coming the DD because I don't drink anymore.
Right.
I still drink, but I hardly ever. Yeah. So I don't know. It's very, like I said, it's very convenient.
It's amazingly convenient, especially for you.
Yeah.
Both ends, it's like.
I don't know if I want to ask her, just tell her I'm just going to drive. Because the other thing is, coming over here from Glen Burnie, I had to go. Oh, when I went to the event at Archbishop Curley the other night, I left my house at 5 o'clock. On a normal day, it's about 20 minutes from my house with no traffic. I was in my car for an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, the 895 tunnel on weekdays around 5 o'clock is the worst thing ever. Like, you're at a standstill. And in the what always happens, Ed, God, I should have saved this for a shovel, but I've done this shovel 1,000 times. What inevitably happens is you get into the tunnel, and magically on the other side of the tunnel, you can drive fast again.
Yeah.
Nothing changed. We were still at two lanes. Where is everybody at the end of the tunnel? You inevitably have people that slow down to like 30 miles an hour. You got the people on their phones in traffic that aren't paying attention. And then it's just like, come on, man. Like, it's so easy. Just drive. But no, can't have it.
And what are they doing on the 695 in the middle? They're creating like a bunch of new lanes.
I think that's what they're trying to do to alleviate some of the traffic there that comes through. But, you know, people don't know. It's going to be the same thing. You could put seven lanes there. We're still going to have traffic.
It was the same thing. I was on the yesterday, whatever. Same thing. Just stop and go, stop and go. And there's no accident. There's no construction going on. And nobody shifted. I'm like, what are we doing?
I don't, like, I didn't get it the other day. They added an extra, it went to an extra lane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the time when 695 goes to two lanes, I guess after 95 or whatever, when you're going around from, we're near Towson to like Glen Burnie.
Yeah.
So outer loop. And we get down to two lanes and everything's moving 1,000 times faster than it was with four. And I'm going, how is that even possible? Nobody even got off. What is going on? Yeah. It's just crazy, man. But again, we've got a bunch to get to today. I know, like, with different stories and things that have happened, I know there's plenty of people who want to talk about Jim Irsay, the Orioles. We're going to have Jacob Calvin-Meyer on. I know he was pretty animated, Ed, about Mike Elias not speaking to the media here and going on the road to Milwaukee where there weren't a lot of beat reporters.
Jerry Bembry.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I didn't mean to gloss over Jerry Bembry, but it's not going to be a happy interview today.
For either one of us.
Yeah.
I mean, he and I.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I want the Knicks to win. I actually like the Pacers, but I think the Knicks winning, I think I would rather tune in to watch the Knicks play either one of those teams.
I think everybody would.
Yeah. So, anyway, but yeah, we're going to get to all that. We'll talk about a bunch of afternoon baseball games today. The Orioles will get started with the Red Sox later on today. You know, as you look at the series here, I know everybody inevitably writes it, which is so funny, after they win. It's like, all right. All you got to do is rattle off 10 or 15 in a row, and you're right back in it. Yeah, that happens all the time, guys.
Yeah.
Especially with teams that look like this. All right, 410-583-1057. We're going to talk about last night, Orioles-Brewers.
Brunson had 43 points, by the way.
And that gets lost in the loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, just crazy, man. We're going to talk more about the Orioles-Brewers and preview the Red Sox. 410-583-1057. We'd like to hear from you. Last night's game, pretty impressive. It was nice to see Jackson Holiday be a hero. Adley Rutschman come through. We talk about all that right here on The Fan.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jackson up the middle. There's a base hit left on left. Mateo's going to go to third. Turrio's throw is dropped. And Holiday takes second behind it.
Because he didn't get a great jump off the first base. Get up, ball.
Deep to left. Adley Rutschman toward the wall.
Yeah. It's gone.
It's the lucky one. 99 up and in. And the Orioles snapped the losing streak. They win in Milwaukee, and Tony Mancelino has his first win as a big league manager.
All right. I get, Joe, was that the highlights from the last 2 weeks you put together? Orioles win last night, and, you know, look, I think they're eight games in a row bad? I mean, they were. Do we feel like, oh, they're going to win, and here comes another losing streak? They'll win a game, here comes another. I don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. Like you said, if they go 500 the rest of the way, it gets them to, what, 72, 73 wins,
yeah,
roughly?
Yeah.
Which is not, let me check this. That's not good. So, no. And that's if you go 500. So, I think you're going to see a more competitive team as this season goes along. Mm-hmm. But to what degree? I know, look, this isn't me selling you guys on, hey, this team's going to be it. They're out of it. They would have to have something so miraculous happen that never happens. And people don't going to point at the Nats when they were kind of down and out and they were going to be sellers and then they made their run. And not down and out like this. I mean, they started off bad, but not this bad. This is historically bad.
It's unique. A team that was this good to be this bad with the same people. It's like when, you remember the Marlins used to win the World Series, they dump everybody.
Yeah, and then they'd come back 4 years later and be there again.
Do it again and dump everybody. This isn't what happened. It's the same people.
Every time people bring up the Marlins, I go, hey, remember that team they had with JT Realmuto, Giancarlo Stanton, Marcelo Ozuna, and Christian Yelich? Yeah, they traded all those guys. Yes, all of them. Get out of here. You guys are too good. Get out of here.
Bizarre.
And who knows if God, why did I blank on the kid? The kid that they're start Jose Fernandez? Right? Was it Fernandez the pitcher that died in the boating accident? Mm-hmm. That kid was
going, oh, that's right.
He was a superstar. Yeah. He had that Hall of Fame type trajectory if he stayed healthy because he was a really, really good pitcher. And losing him, it's almost like everything fell apart after that. Yep. But anyway, getting back to the Orioles, I wanted to go back to something. I mean, we're going to talk about this game. Did you hear the clip from Tony Manzolino where he said 2 points instead of 2 runs and everybody lost their mind?
No.
He was talking about the game. He's like, when you got that guy on, he scored, and now you're 2 points behind. Yeah. And people are like, the manager doesn't even know it's called runs? No,
come on, he's been baseball a long time. Stop it.
Like someone, hey, Skip.
I said that yesterday. I said they had the worst point differential. And then I corrected myself. I said the run differential. But
there's so many people that they're waiting for you to mess up and say something stupid or say something. Oh, there it is. Like, you know, anytime you're sitting here and you bring up whatever topic it may be and you misuse the words. Like if we were talking football or baseball, and I said locker room instead of clubhouse. People go, you don't know it's a clubhouse? Or you say coach, you don't know it's he's the manager? Yeah, you do. Baseball's just different across the board.
Yeah.
And the fact that he said 2 points, it's like, who cares? Like, really? That's what we're going to bitch about?
Yeah.
How about the team?
That's the problem.
But, you know, look, avoiding the sweep, I'm sure those guys, I don't know how much they celebrated in the locker room. Or
clubhouse.
The clubhouse, my bad. I did that on purpose. I didn't. Anyway, the point is, like, getting this win, does this kind of alleviate the weight that was on your shoulder for the 8-game losing streak? It does not fix you, and all of a sudden they're going to be great, but, like, that monkey's on your back, and you can't get rid of it, and you keep going. Like, think about the ways that they've lost. You're waiting to lose the game. Any lead that you have, you're like, how are we going to give this up?
Everyone's waiting. All the fans are waiting, usually. Like, even yesterday, when they tied it up in the bottom of the ninth, I'm like, come on. Really?
Well, how about the 10th when the Orioles...
They get the run, the go-ahead run, yeah.
They have second and third, one out, and they can't get one of those runs in. You know, so frustrating. But Adley had the big hit that helped out. Jackson, as everyone's chanting, overrated. Jackson Holliday had essentially the game-winning hit, which was cool to see. And again, you want to hang your hat on a bright spot. Keep watching Jackson Holliday. I mean, this kid's legit. He's going to be great. But rest of the team, we'll see. And by the way, like I know we got Jacob Calvin-Meyer coming up this hour, but he's like, they're 1-0 in the Andrew Kittredge era. Yeah, he's finally back. But that's the key, though, too, Ed, is they're going to get some pieces back. They've dug too deep of a hole, but like, do these pieces make them... They're going to make them better, but do they make them more competitive? And the only reason I keep saying more competitive is there a chance that they get within hitting distance or whatever? Like, oh, you're 7 games out and it's June or the end of June or July and you're coming up on the trade deadline shortly. Because I feel like they should be sellers, but I don't want the fool's gold. You know, either it's, hey, we're killing everybody and we're getting back in this thing. Don't give me what the Mets always were. They were baseball purgatory. Yeah. They're like, we're 6 games out, but we're close, right? Let's trade some pieces. Nope, we're still 6 games out. Yes. That's what we are. We're a middle-of-the-pack team. And then they never made the decision to, we're going all in or we're selling.
Yes, they don't. And by the way, I keep bringing them up. O'Hearn keeps doing it.
Yeah.
He had 4 hits yesterday. Four.
He's awesome, man.
So he's batting over 300 again. He's at a 396 on base percentage.
It was funny. My son was leaving the house yesterday, and he goes, hey, you want to put a lineup together for me for DraftKings? And I'm like, I've done it the past couple days, and I think 2 days I won him a little bit of money. One day the lineup just got blown up. A pitcher sucked. And then yesterday, in the morning, I stacked the Orioles and the Rays, and I had everybody that did everything. And he ended up, he finished in second place and won himself a couple $100 on a, like a small little.
Yeah.
And he's texting it to me, and now I know every day now I'm getting asked for a lineup, so I got to be ready for it. But, you know, happy for him that he won a little bit. But this is something, too, with the Orioles that we're going to continue to talk about is, what does this team look like moving forward? Like when Westbrook comes back, when Kowser comes back, are we going to see Kobe Mayo getting extended, you know, playing time if this team is out of it? Are we going to see him get extended playing time even if they're playing well? Because you need to look at these young guys. And, you know, seeing what Bisaccia did, McDermott going back down, kind of like what we talked about the other day, and understanding with Kittredge coming back, he was more than likely going to go back down. One of the guys was. It's... I don't know if I like the roller coaster ride that is the up and down of the minor leagues back to the majors, back to the minor leagues. I do believe in what Dan O'Dowd said on MLB Network that messes with kids' minds. You know,
it does.
And Kevin Gausman to me is the perfect example. We had so many people screaming he's a 500 pitcher, and I'm like, what does that have to go look at his ERA and WHIP? What do you guys keep looking at wins and losses for?
Though, come on,
he can't control that. You can't control. He can't get a win unless somebody scores a run. That's out of his hand. That's why wins and losses for pitchers are stupid.
Yeah. I mean, look at people like, was it King Felix?
Yeah.
Well, DeGrom. They both won Cy Youngs with like terrible Roger Clemens. Records. Did he have a bad record too? Out of seven?
Roger Clemens had a sub-1 ERA on the road. Mm-hmm. I think his last year with the Astros or second to last year. It's the most amazing. And I think at the end of the year, he was 11-10.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Yeah, DeGrom, same thing. DeGrom, yeah. King Felix. There've been a bunch. DeGrom was. They should have his poster up when you look that up. Like, hey man, who was a really good pitcher that never got helped out by scoring runs? Oh, it's Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah,
he could have had 50 more wins had they scored a single run.
He could have had 3 Cy Youngs. Well, he would have 2. I mean, he could have won a bunch if they would hit for him.
It is. I just wish they didn't even look at the wins thing because the other stuff is telling you what this pitcher was all year long.
There's a lot of pushback though. I'm hearing more and more pushback on people with analytics. Where we're looking at OPS now and on base percentage and OPS and things like that. People going back to batting average and stuff are trying to. I think they don't like it.
You know what happens is...
It likes change.
Yeah, I mean, I think batting average runs and RBIs are things that people are always going to look at. But with this specifically, and like I think some of the stuff does get a little bit outdated because walks are just as good as hits unless somebody's on base. Right. You know, like that's the only advantage. But getting on base, what does it do? It puts more pressure on the pitcher. It makes the pitcher throw more pitches in an inning. Mm-hmm. And then these are high leverage, you know, situations you're in, which are more taxing on the body.
Yeah.
So I think those things are important. But there's so many things that are out of players' control. You know, that's why I do think on base percentage is way more important than batting average. But people are going to use whatever they think helps make their point.
Yeah.
Because if I wanted to trash Kyle Schwarber most years, I would talk about his batting average and not let you know. If you go look at his slugging on base percentage, he's one of the best players in the league. He just can't play a position. He's terrible in the outfield. And then he's a free agent next year. Somebody was asking me about the Orioles. Like, hey, you think they'd go after Schwarber? And I'm going, I don't think they want a full-time DH with Bisaccia and Adley being here if they're both here next year. And then I also don't think you're going out and spending money on a power left-handed bat when you clearly need right-handed hitting.
Yeah, definitely right-handed hitting.
But I'm not putting – look, you got a GM under fire as it is. The pressure's on. I think this offseason is going to be a ridiculous one if he's still around.
What the trade deadline looks like. That's coming much quicker than the offseason. Well,
you got – so let me pull this up real quick. I know we're getting ready to step out. And, we got JCM coming up at 6:45. We're going to do more Oriole talk. But, like, when you start looking at the standings – and I never do this early in the season. I think I've been doing it more and more just to see how far the Orioles are out of them. 16-32, a negative 85 point different. run differential for the team. God, I can't believe I did that. I didn't know they didn't do points in baseball. As you start to look at it, it's like what teams are out of it. Those are the teams that are going to trade. It's the White Sox, the Orioles, in the American League. Everybody else is in it. Like, the four teams that aren't named the White Sox in the Central all have winning records. The Athletics are 22-28. The Angels 23-25. Everybody else in their division is above 500 or better. So you look at that saying, if they're in it, who's going to be sellers? And with the expansion of the playoffs and everything that's going on, that's So, I mean, the Orioles might be getting their door kicked down for some of these guys. I mean, there'll be trades. There are teams that are going to fall off, and they're going to look at themselves. I didn't even pull up the National League, but you guys get the idea. All right, talking more Orioles coming up next. Do you trust Elias will make the right decisions for the future of this club without knowing he'll be the GM long term? We discuss it right here on The Fan.
I'm in a position where, regardless of how it affects me or my personal situation, I have to make decisions that I judge in collaboration with my bosses and the people around me to be in the best interest of the Baltimore Orioles franchise. So that's what I'm doing.
That's Mike Elias talking about, you know, what's happened recently with the Birds, the firing of Brandon Hyde, this losing streak. Did you see they were listing the worst teams after a manager got fired midseason? Like, a lot of times a guy gets fired and the team, they start playing better, or at least initially do. The Orioles were in that group of, it was like five terrible teams that went on horrendous losing streaks after they fired the manager midseason. Like, yeah, that wasn't the problem. This was the problem. But I think the Orioles, I mean, you could look at a lot of different things and hang your hat on, say, to blame it on Elias, Hyde, the players, ownership. Everybody's going to find something there to point the finger at. Now, with this, it is interesting, though, with Elias, because there are some people that are going, I don't even want to make decisions for the future regarding the draft, which I think is silly, because I think he's been one of the best at evaluating talent, even though people are going, well, he didn't take Bobby Witt over Adley Rutschman. And people keep forgetting, if he took Bobby Witt, you don't get Gunnar Henderson in the second
round. That's right.
Because of the financials. The reason they took Adley, you didn't have to spend as much to get him to sign as a catcher, and they could allocate the money and move that to the... Remember, that was I hate calling it a compensation pick, but it was a back end of the first round pick that people keep calling a second round pick. And the reason they wanted that money is because Gunnar had committed to Auburn. So you had to throw so much money at him to get him to not go to college, right?
Yeah.
So that's... When that happened, that's the reason why. So you were supposed to get a switch-hitting catcher and your shortstop of the future is what you hoped. And that's what they got, but Adley's been scuffling. Gunnar's been as advertised, so... I want him to, like, if it's the draft, yes, I want him making the picks for the draft. And if something should happen and they want to move on from Mike Elias, I hope they keep this scouting department together, because I think they've done a great job. The one argument that people have had is that they haven't drafted pitchers. But again, I'd rather them draft best player available. Pitchers are very volatile. That does not mean don't take pitchers. But if the right guy's not there, I'm not taking him just because he throws. You know?
Absolutely. And I wouldn't be so quick to pull a trigger on Elias.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done a lot of good for this organization. They're having a terrible run. But I wouldn't, you know, throw him out the door just yet. I hope, you know, there's cooler heads prevail here. Let's see what we got. People return.
Yeah, I think when you talk about it, like, fans get really upset because the season has gone this way, right? Like, and I've said this before, anytime something happens, the Ravens lose, the Orioles lose, whatever, you need the reason / scapegoat. And I think there are times that maybe it's both, but other times, like, if you're looking at certain things honestly, and let's say, okay, Mark Andrews drops the 2-point conversion in that playoff game that would have tied it. Is that the reason they lost? No. But it would have given him an opportunity to win the game had he made it. There are the fumble, maybe that's the reason they lost. But there, you can point to plenty of things in the game. There was an interception. There was a missed tackle here. You gave up a big play there. Like, there's so many things that happen in the game.
It's all sports, and it just pisses me off because people do this all the time.
It comes down to one singular thing.
And it's always at the last minute of play. It's like people are doing it with Brunson.
Yeah.
He turned the ball over, I think, in the last minute last night and missed it. He missed it 3. I'm trying to remember.
That must take away from the 43 points.
He scored 43 points. You think they'd be in the game without him? Like, come on.
Just there's a lot of that stuff that, to me, is truly unfair when people are breaking it down. But that's how it's going to be. And with Elias, like, the other thing that I would listen to people on that are saying, hey, I don't want him trading at the trade deadline. Like, we didn't like any of the trades he made, even though you got to give him credit for the good ones if you're going to knock him for the bad ones. He did get Zach Eflin, which was the best pitching acquisition last year. You know, we talked about Yennier Cano and Cade Povich in a trade when everybody said he was stupid.
What about Sagano?
I mean,
it was a trade, but still, he picked him up.
Well, he picked him up when Sasaki was the guy that everyone was talking about, and he's come over here and just kind of crapped the bed.
Yeah.
They had video of him crying in the dugout, and everybody was like blasting him. I'm like, man, that's He's passionate. He cares about what he's doing. He's a young guy. He's in a big city, and he's not pitching well after signing a huge contract. Yeah, he's embarrassed.
Yeah.
And because he's got tears in his eyes, people are making fun of him.
Yeah.
But they picked the right, they got the right one of the guys that came over. But by no means does any of this give a pass to what's going on now. Do you guys have confidence in him moving forward to make the right decisions at the trade deadline and in the offseason? Let's go to Ken in New Freedom. Ken, you're on the Fan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The source of the problem with the O's is not rocket science. You know, we've got four or five guys still injured, major, you know, people like Westberg and Kowser's not back. But the source of the problem is ownership. You know, we didn't spend anything. Tyler O'Neill is a journeyman player. He's not going to make a big difference. Who's constantly hurt. You know, the Yankees went out and got Fried and they got Bellinger, and then the Red Sox went out and got Crochet, and they went out and got, you know, Walker Buehler. He was on the IL, but he's going to be back. You know, and then they got, you know, Bregman, who's, you know, these are all-star players that they got. We get journeyman.
Hold on. Let's stop for a second. Walker Buehler was, that ship had sailed, because if he was still an all-star pitcher, he'd be on the Dodgers right now. Like, they kicked the tires on a guy that used to be good that was sucking for a long period of time. Not to say that he won't go back and be Walker Buehler again, but let's be fair. All of this stuff is after the fact. Were you screaming about getting those guys beforehand? The contract that Max Fried got was an 8-year deal, and at the back end of that contract, it's going to be awful. And this team has yet to show you that they're willing to allocate that type of money in a long-term deal to a pitcher, and most teams don't want to do that. So I don't like blaming ownership when he's the guy that said, here's the money, do what you want with it. I don't, of all the things that you want to blame, I think ownership is the last thing you should blame when the guy's opened a checkbook. So,
he's only here for a year.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't,
come on.
It doesn't even hold water for me. All right, appreciate the phone call though. We've got Jacob Calvin-Meyer coming up next. We're going to talk to him. I want to get his thoughts because he, you know, he tweeted out, he was a little upset at the fact, not a little, but that we had Mike Elias go on the road and talk to guys that weren't the routine beat reporters that weren't going on this trip. We talked to JCM right here on The Fan.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Conrad Norris, Rob Long is off for this week. So we're going to welcome in Jacob Calvin-Meyer, good old JCM of the Baltimore Sun. And Jacob, give me your thoughts on the Elias stuff, because I saw some of your tweets about, you know, going on the road and doing this interview. Fairly upset at the fact that you guys didn't get first crack at it, or he didn't stand up and speak to you guys, correct?
Yeah, listen, there's multiple ways to view this. First, thanks for having me on. The first way is just in the objective way, which is, people might not have read the tweets that way, but that was the way I was approaching the tweets, which is the fact that it is factual that his players are not awarded the same opportunity that he took for himself. These are guys that we have to talk to after they blow a save, after they strike out to end the game.
Yep.
And we spoke to them minutes after they found out that Tony Mantolino, that Brandon Hyde had been fired. And, you know, the first guy to talk was a 21-year-old, and we talked to about half of the players in the clubhouse. Some of them had, you know, were fighting back tears while talking about it. And so it was surprising for Mike Elias to do that, especially when, you know, since I've been on the beat, you know, for example, he sends Jackson Holliday down, he talks that day.
Yeah.
And that's happened multiple times with prospects. And so for him to make a decision this big and to wait 4 days to talk about it is surprising. Selfishly, as a reporter, of course, would I have liked to have been in Milwaukee? Would I have preferred that he do it in Baltimore, where there were 25 to 30 reporters, instead of in Milwaukee, where there were six, when half of those six are, you know, work for outlets that are either owned by the team or owned by the league? Yeah, sure, I would have preferred that. And but perhaps the reason that they waited for Milwaukee, either he chose or his PR staff insanely convinced him to do that, is because there would only be six reporters in Milwaukee.
I think it was purposely done that way. But
so yeah. Do I. I held press conferences all the time. And again, when I did something that was going to rock the city, I had a press conference immediately. Get your good news out faster, bad news out faster. That's the rule. It's like to do it out of town 4 days later is crazy. I also, we had Mike Elias on Tuesday of that week. I asked him directly. I said, you know, can't fire all the players. Is the manager's job in jeopardy? He said, no, it wasn't his fault. Really not his fault, because it's not on, that's not the manager's. A lot of other things going on. Then Saturday, he's gone. What does that say to you? Was it being honest and just that was not on, you know, on his radar and came from ownership? Or did something happen that soured him in those 4 days? Like, what do you think that was about?
Yeah, honestly, I'm not sure. I've been thinking about that ever since Brandon Hyde was fired. And just one last thing about waiting for Milwaukee. I don't want to pretend like that's the end of the world, right?
Yeah.
Like, but it is something that probably might matter to some players in that clubhouse, and it's just something that was surprising. And so when it comes to firing Hyde, I think a lot of people pointed out, like, oh, what else is Mike going to say when he's asked about it? Like, this is pretty typical, pretty standard for any GM to kind of back his manager before then firing him a couple yep. days later. I mean, it's even if you look at college football coaches, you know, even before he goes to the NFL, says, I'm never leaving, you know, LSU or whatever. Right. It's like, that's just the way that this goes. These people lie to us all the time. That is sort of,
yeah.
that is sort of their job. Now, the reason that I've sort of not been hung up on, but the reason I've been thinking a lot about him waiting for Milwaukee, because it felt so out of character for him, is did he do that because he was truly distraught by the decision that he had to make and he did really need a couple days? That's possible. Did he wait a couple days because maybe he really didn't want to make the decision and he needed to find a way to find the words so that he could convince people that it was his decision, where if he had done it in the moment, then people might have been able to read between the lines that maybe Elias didn't want to do this. Again, I'm completely speculating
yeah.
here.
Yeah,
and
me too.
The reason for the speculation is because we don't have a lot of these answers. Or did he just wait because it was just kind of a PR nightmare and the people around him gave him bad information? I'm not really sure, but the decision just felt a little bit out of character, and what felt even more out of character is the fact that they waited this long.
So, talking to Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun, here on the Big Bad Morning Show, and my hypothesis is that Rubenstein's the one who wanted him fired, and then he fires him, and then it's the PR department's decision that he goes on the road and does that in Milwaukee. I'm wondering if either one of those decisions were his, because he had a it's the first time I've seen him interviewed with what appeared to be like a glazed over look, like, man, this has been a rough stretch, and I don't know what's going to happen moving forward. But I do agree that you guys should be upset. You know, if we're going to sit here and yell about players being accountable and not showing up after the game to answer for a mistake, or they do, and as you pointed out, you got a 21-year-old stepping up to answer questions after the manager's fired, then, yeah, the GM should be there.
Yeah, listen, like, when it comes to, like, how this decision was made, something that was notable to me was that David Rubenstein has not been as present at Orioles games this season as he was last. He's not throwing around hats as much and kissing babies because first, there are fewer babies in the ballpark in the first place. And second, the team's not as good. He was there Friday night for that debacle. He's sitting right there, front row. Just something that I kind of thought about in the aftermath of Hyde's decision, that a game that he was at went that poorly.
We got him. Oh, no. There you go.
You're good. Mike Elias has agency to make his own decisions, and even if he was getting, you know, his PR staff was pushing him to wait for Milwaukee, you know, Mike still has the ability to go out and talk, you know, even, you know, against the advice of his PR staff. But yeah, listen, it's like, it's not the end of the world. I don't want to be one of those reporters where it's like, oh my gosh. But you're right, players get crushed if they don't quote. And all that stuff. And so at the end of the day, as a just like strictly speaking as a journalist, my job is to hold people in power accountable. And I find this to be a situation where this was a little bit surprising.
Well, JCM, as always, man, appreciate the time you pop it on, talk about some stuff. We didn't even get to what should happen with the trade deadline, but we got a ton of time to talk because it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, so get ready for about 2 months of trade deadline talk here, guys.
Yes, exactly.
It'll be a blast.
And was your dad that pointed out 1-0 in the Andrew Kittredge era?
Yeah, listen, I think I folded back a little bit too many layers there that now people are going to start questioning how many of my tweets are actually written by other people.
That was my first thought.
Yeah, it's like, are you writing some of my tweets? Nathan Ruiz, my former partner, is he ghostwriting for me here? I don't know. We'll have to we'll have to really start seeing. There might have to be an investigation.
I'm waiting for Matt Weyrich to come out with a not like us, you know, to come back at you. You know, you're not like us. We're the ones tweeting our own tweets. Anyway, right. JCM, we'll see you next time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
He's awesome, man. Like, and I think what he's saying is very fair. So I don't know if he felt like I was trying to, you know, ambush him with this question, but no, like, your feelings are valid on it if he's not talking to the media. You know, like, if and again, like, I'm one of the guys that's defended Mike Elias more than most. He's got to show up for that.
Dude.
And again, I think it's the, I thought it was the PR's decision to do this.
It doesn't matter. It's not that they don't make this is what I don't explain to people. It's like, they work for Elias. Like, I've had PR people in every department I've worked in. I love them all. I mean, I had Regina, Arella, you know, with AAA now. I mean, Greg Shipley with State Police. And they both laughed because I would listen to them, but I didn't always do what they wanted. Well, rarely did what they wanted, actually. Greg would hand me a speech for every appearance I made. He goes, I know you're not going to read this, Colonel, but I have to do this. Like, okay, that's fine. He'd give it to me. Of course, I'd never read it. And I would just do what I did.
Yeah.
And he would laugh about it. But it's like, you don't... They're not your boss. And this was bad advice if he got it. Don't do this.
And I just want to make it clear. I don't have any inside information to say either. That. Like, I could be dead wrong.
That's right. This is not inside information. This is me watching what they did and saying, no, that was stupid. That was really stupid. It was bad for you guys because it made you look bad.
Well, I mean, that's how I feel. So we're going to talk some...
I'm available for your press office, if you know.
Do you want to talk about last night's playoff game? In the NBA?
Sure.
All right.
I want to talk about a lot of things. Let's talk about the Stars. I want to talk about, you know,
well, coming
Dallas
up,
came back big.
Yeah, they did. Coming up, we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs. Last night's crazy, insane comeback, which brought back visions of Reggie Miller holding his hands around his throat, and that's what Tyrese Halliburton did. And we'll talk about SGA's win, where George Karl took a shot at a former Nuggets coach for saying what he said yesterday. We get into that next here on The Fan.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.